Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Welcome to the IL Women Podcast. We finally have an NCAA tournament bracket. All of the conference championships have been won or lost. All of the at-large bids have been given. It is now time to really kick in May Madness. I'm Matt Kinnear, joined by Alyssa Murray-Cometti and Emily Considine, and we've got a great show. We're going to be talking about the bracket, the conference tournaments, and the NCAA tournament, which will start Friday at all of the host sites that were awarded on Selection Sunday. So get your brackets filled out, make your picks, and get your tickets. Men's and Women's NCAA Championship Weekend is coming back to Gillette Stadium. Guys, you're running out of time if you were going to buy tickets. It's May 23rd to May 26th. Nowhere else in the lacrosse world to be other than Foxborough, Massachusetts. The men's and women's Final Fours will be held jointly this year. It was an awesome experience when they did it last time at Gillette. It's going to be an awesome experience this time. The action starts Friday with the women's D1 semifinals, continues Saturday with the men's D1 semis. Championship action is on Sunday, men's D2, men's D3, and the women's D1 final. Monday afternoon is the men's D1 final. We're partnering with the NCAA. Let them know how much you love women's lacrosse. You get $5 off single-day ticket by using the code ILPOD at checkout. NCAA.com/LaxTickets and enter ILPOD to check out and purchase your tickets. You know you're going, so why not get $5 off? That's NCAA.com/LaxTickets, ILPOD at checkout. Guys, this has been this past weekend is probably the busiest of the year. It's one of the most exciting. You know, I like to think of it as a quasi first round of the NCAA tournament because, you know, you're playing, and for most of the teams, you know, the ones who aren't in that at-large conversation, you win and you're in, you lose and your season's over, and sometimes for these seniors, unfortunately, your career is over. So really nothing is more exciting than that kind of stakes in lacrosse. And when we talk about what happened in these conference championships, I think we have one of the best moments of the season. And that was when Navy won in overtime to beat Loyola, the mighty Greyhounds, who seemed to never lose and had a ridiculous Patriot League winning streak going into that game. Navy beat them in overtime, avenging several instances of heartbreak over the years, including this regular season and including in the Patriot tournament last year. Emily, watching Cindy Timshaw kind of celebrate that, that's one of the top moments of the year, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I was just super happy for her. I feel like, you know, Navy and Loyola and Army is getting thrown in there too, but, you know, there's some sort of rivalry going on with those two teams, and Cindy being, you know, the coach that she is, how long she's been in the game, and for her to still get so excited, so amped up on the sideline over a win is, you know, super, super cool. You know, it was a really good game. It was such a disservice to the fans that we couldn't watch it real time. But really happy for Navy. They've had a good year, very up and down. So I'm excited to see what they can do in the first round.
Yeah, and we talked a lot about Navy in the preseason as like a team that kind of was on a mission. Emily Messinese, you know, had that kind of now famous where she got bloody nose and teeth knocked out in the Army-Navy game last year and came back and had an awesome game. It's just like they're kind of one of those teams, right? They're a military academy. But it just like they're the team that got snubbed in the NCAA tournament last year. I still don't understand how that decision behind that in terms of how they got snubbed. You just felt like all of these like instances where like they're just so close and didn't get there culminated into like this just awesome moment when that goal in overtime was scored. How, you know, when, knowing what we know about Navy, been up and down, Alyssa, like, I can't imagine this is a team you want to play in the first round, like coming off that win. You know, they're playing Clemson, which is a team that is also in like a similar boat of like, you know, they made it to the NCAA tournament the first time in program history. So there's a lot of like extra buzz around their trip to the NCAAs. But gosh, I can't imagine playing against Navy right now.
Yeah, I mean, you have the history of like the players that experienced that devastation of not getting their name called on Selection Sunday, along with the youth of players like Alyssa Chung, who's come in this year as a freshman, who has just come on so strong throughout the season. Obviously, she's made an impact right from the start, but has grown more and more into the Navy offense and become a key threat for them, who I think we've talked about it before, is just as freshmen, it's you don't know what you don't know, and you're able to just play so free because you have just no pressure of this is my last year, this could be my last game, or this could be my best friend's last game. You know, the someone that you've played with for the previous 3 years. And so it's just the ability to just have that as a team, it just is such balance. And, you know, they were fun to watch down the stretch, and I watched their game versus Army, and they just seem so free when they play and have nothing to lose. Even though really they probably had a lot to lose, or just would put themselves right back in the spot that they were last year had they not beaten Loyola for the championship, and they just left no doubt and sealed it. So they are a tough team, and you know that they're going to go in with discipline, and just there's nobody that's going to play harder than them.
Yeah, and the other, I think, most noteworthy result in the conference tournament championships was Yale. The way that they handled that semifinal and final, man, you know, this is a team that I think probably we had a little bit higher expectations for throughout the season than what they showed at times. But then at times they have looked like a top five or so team, like we had kind of thought. And they've really put it all together here in this final weekend. You know, in the bracketology, when you look at it from that standpoint, going in to conference championship week, had them out of that top eight hosting. Then coming out of conference championship week, they're a number seven seed. I think you probably could have argued they could be a number six on the numbers. But a lot of stakes there, and they really delivered. Alyssa, like Yale, like I guess we're seeing what we thought, right? Like they're just kind of playing to the level that we hoped and are now a scary team in the NCAAs.
Right. I think, you know, when you look at their losses and what were technically, I guess, bad losses for them, you know, are actually good teams. They're tournament teams. So they are in a top eight seed, just like we had thought. It arguably could have been a six seed, like you said. But kudos to them for, again, you know, just taking the opportunity and flipping the script. You know, we would, going into championship weekend, we would have said Princeton was a top eight seed, which we'll get into, I'm sure. And they flipped the script and made sure that they were. So I think that's a very senior veteran team that made it to the Elite Eight last year, lost to Syracuse in the quarterfinals. And, you know, they do have a really tough draw in the quarterfinal round again. But it's Yale being in the quarterfinals is something that we have not heard in recent history. So the fact that they are setting themselves up to have that opportunity and to host in the first weekend is huge for their program.
And they'll be playing Katie Rowan and UAlbany, the America East champion, in the first round that they will host, and potentially on a collision course with Syracuse in the second round, or they'll play another Ivy League team in Brown. So, you know, the Ivy League is definitely, you know, we talk so much about the ACC, we talk so much about the Big Ten. The Ivy League really was kind of the story of this whole selection process, with, you know, the fact that you have Yale getting a home game. Princeton, like I said, we're going to talk about them. Just such a great resume. Penn, you know, kind of was in that conversation as well. If they would have won that Ivy League tournament, they would kind of be in the place where Yale is right now. Brown making the tournament. You have Harvard as a bubble team. Dartmouth, you know, a little further back, but also a bubble team as well. Just an incredible season for the Ivy League. And probably we'll see some noise out of those guys in NCAA tournament. Want to talk a little bit about just congrats to the first-timers. You know, Akron winning the MAC, and then Liberty winning the conference as well. It's awesome when we see new teams in the NCAA tournament. If everyone can go ahead and find the MAC Twitter account and watch Elaine Jones, the Akron coach, talk about the conference championship. You can just really feel how much this means and how well this team, you know, came together. And it's not always the best team. It's the team that plays like a team and gets hot at the right time. So congrats to Akron. Obviously, they get funneled into the Northwestern bracket, which is such a great reward for winning your conference. But, you know, Akron, Michigan, and Northwestern there. Congrats to them and congrats to Liberty. Now, let's look at this bracket. All year, you know, we do bracketology, and, you know, I was reminded how much things changed in these last 2 weeks. You know, when we talked about, you know, I look back to our first bracketology, Maryland wasn't in the mix for a home game. Princeton was basically, at that point, I could have said guaranteed a home game. Johns Hopkins, I would have said at that point, was guaranteed. They did end up getting one, but certainly was a lot more contentious than we maybe thought. Look at the bracket now. We have 8 top seeds, and just for folks who don't realize how this bracket is constructed, it's a 29-team tournament. There are 8 seeded teams, and they are the home pods for the first and second round of the tournament. The top 3 seeds get a bye in the first round. So that's obviously North Carolina, Boston College, Northwestern, the easiest decision that has ever been made by a lacrosse committee in the history of lacrosse is seeding those teams 1 through 3. Florida gets the 4 seed. Virginia gets the 5 seed. Maryland, the 6 seed. Maryland had basically, other than Yale, maybe the best last 2 weeks of the season in terms of building their NCAA tournament resume. Yale, the 7 seed, and 8, Johns Hopkins. The team that's left out there is Princeton. And to me, that's the story of this bracket reveal, is Princeton not getting the home seed. Now, which, if you consider, you know, they're likely the number 9 team if you kind of looked at it in a 1 through 29. So maybe their matchups aren't that terribly off from what they were going to be. But they have to travel. Their first game is going to be harder than Johns Hopkins by far. So really, it is a snub, and I still don't understand this decision. Alyssa, how dangerous can Princeton be, and what do you make of this decision of them going on the road versus Johns Hopkins or even Yale?
You know, it's hard. I mean, I think Mackenzie Blake and Dora are just so strong offensively. They've proven that they are so talented. I mean, 14-3 record is very impressive. I think their opening game, they lost to Virginia, which for me, and this is just me talking, like Ivy's dropping their opening game, I just kind of write off, you know, they start a week later than most programs and usually don't have a little warm-up game that other strong programs can afford to schedule. So to go out and play Virginia in your opening game, who is the number 5 seed in the tournament, a loss there, to me, I'm just like, okay, well, whatever. So it stinks. You know, if I'm Princeton, I'm like, what the heck? But also if I'm Princeton, I'm like, okay, like, let's roll. And I think they have a great opportunity to kind of show the committee and just, you know, people watching that they deserved a top 8 seed. And there's nothing like feeling like you've been rejected or being left out to serve as motivation to, you know, make some waves. So that'd be, if I'm Princeton, that's how I'm looking at it. It's like, okay, we'll show you. But that's just my competitor side coming out and just being like, I could beat you at home. I could beat you on your turf too.
And to play devil's advocate, you know, there are complications that come with playing at home as well.
Right.
You know, there is some aspect of like, you know, getting on the bus together, that's all you have is the hotel and each other versus like going to your own apartment or whatever. And, you know, family and other friends around, and it's the end of the year. So there's off campus parties. Not that any of these, like, I don't think any of these people are dumb enough to kind of party before their NCAA tournament game, but, you know, so there's just distractions at home and they're not going far. They're going to Hopkins. So quick bus ride, yeah. You know, 2.5, 3 hours or whatever. And the thing that strikes me as difficult for them, though, is they have to prep for UMass versus Johns Hopkins has to prep for Liberty. So if you think that you flip-flop those teams and, you know, Hopkins, not that you look past any opponent, but Hopkins can look to the second round a little bit more. Princeton has to say, you know, Princeton should win this game, but they still have to focus. They have to be really dialed in on their draw controls. They have to kind of, you know, look at that area of the field in a really, really substantial way. So it does in some way distract from the bigger picture of making a tournament run by having a more difficult first round game. But when we look at the first round, Emily, I'll start with you. What is the game that sticks out to you the most?
I think Penn Army is probably the one that I have my eye on. I think, you know, Army struggled in their semifinal Patriot League, losing Bridget Duffy at a pretty prominent time in the game where it could have gone one way or the other. So I think with her hopefully back on the field, you know, this could be a really, really good first round game. Penn obviously is going to fight super hard. They're probably not pleased with, you know, how they finished out their Ivy League play in the tournament. And I think both of these teams really have something to prove.
Yeah, and that sets up potentially for Penn at least a rematch with Maryland in the second round, which is something I think that they would, you know, those teams just play a lot. They play every year, it seems like, in the past few years. I'll pick one, and then Alyssa, I'll throw it to you. Stanford-Denver. You know, Stanford is a team that had an argument, but I think in the end, you know, so had a few bad losses. So just didn't quite do enough to host a first round pod. But their matchup, you know, for them, it becomes about with the whole geography aspect of things, like where do you send them? Because you have to be cognizant of who's flying where. So it really just kind of ended up by default that Stanford and Denver were going to play each other. It is a rematch, which is typically something the NCAA committee tries to avoid. But I think the weight of, you know, sending another team and paying for another flight and all that stuff to split these guys up versus just having them play each other is probably where the committee was going in terms of the geographical balance there. But Stanford lost this game. And Stanford has had kind of a little bit of a play to your opponent's abilities aspect to them. Play down when they're playing a worse team, play up, you know, when they are playing a great team. So curious to see how they come out this one, you know, come off the plane, and are they playing their best lacrosse, or are they playing a team that, you know, I think has definitely improved if you look at the way that they handled their Big East tournament championship. But I think it's a game that Stanford should feel comfortable if they're playing their best winning. Just will they be playing their best, or will they be kind of, you know, playing to the level of what they need to, not their best? Alyssa, what's one sticking out for you?
Well, that was, you stole mine, but I scrambled. And I'm going to say, you know, a team that we actually like haven't talked about that much is James Madison versus Duke. I think it's a pretty compelling matchup, especially because it sets up, you know, assuming that Virginia beats LIU, then let's say JMU wins that. That's a pretty interesting matchup. You know, I think Maddie Epke is obviously the heartbeat of that team, but they've got a lot of young talent. We've highlighted Reese Cuviello in our impact freshman, but they've got players like Olivia Matthews as well that are coming on in their freshman year. And then they're just a team that seems like they always are hanging around. And Shelby Clays is just a great coach, and they have a history of, you know, just shocking people. And even though they might not feel like they're shocking people, you know, people might underestimate them. That'll be the one I pick.
I like it. And then also shout out, you know, a team that lost, South Florida, for their great first year. They were kind of in that conference championship game for a little bit. You know, obviously didn't make the tournament or anything like that, but great by them. Another game to highlight, I think, Syracuse Brown was one that we mentioned in passing. Brown, kind of the last team in of this NCAA tournament field. Syracuse, you know, down the stretch, just kind of looks like they're flailing a bit. So kind of, you know, they've had some time off because the ACC tournament starts so early and they didn't, you know, really go very deep in the ACC tournament. Rest versus rust. How does that kind of work out for them? And then Loyola Stony Brook, another one that's probably worth highlighting. The winner that goes to Boston, you know, plays against Boston College, arrested Boston College in the second round. But basically, you know, it's a tale as old as time. Stony Brook, you know, going to play a team on the road. You know, this year, obviously, there was really no argument for them hosting as there has been in past years. But it feels like they play a team like Loyola every year in the first round. That will be a tough matchup. And Loyola kind of has going to have some fire under them, given the way that their conference tournament ended. Obviously, North Carolina, Boston College, Northwestern, no brainer. They get the top seeds, like we said. But when you look at all of the teams, all of the favorites, and you're kind of looking to the future in the bracket, which team do you think has the clearest path to championship weekend? Emily?
That's a really good question. I think I'm going to go with North Carolina. I think their side of the bracket is competitive, but for them, very beatable, especially because I think, you know, they started off the year strong, but they just seem to keep getting better. Like, every game, they're able to, you know, find a new way to compete, especially their offense. You know, every game they're trying something different. I think it's just the IQ. You know, they're willing to adjust, and they just have a really solid defensive unit. I think they're set up for success in this side of the bracket.
Yeah, Alyssa, what are you looking at?
You know, I'm trying to think outside of those top three. I definitely don't think Northwestern has the clearest. You know, Maryland almost gave them a run for their money. Obviously, Boston College is Boston. I think those top two seeds are just it'll be a massive upset for them to not make it. And then obviously Northwestern, they definitely would be favored in a quarterfinal matchup, but just not clear. I do think, like, if there's going to be an upset, it's going to be in the, you know, I'm looking at, like I said, Virginia, James Madison, Duke, and then assuming Stanford will beat Denver, which is a bold assumption since they lost them, like we already said, that Stanford versus potential Florida matchup, it just, there's going to be a team potentially that we're not always used to seeing in the Final Four be there, which is pretty awesome. So I think that second half of the North Carolina bracket, obviously then you have to go to Gillette and play North Carolina, but there's a lot of opportunity there for teams, and I'm sure that they're all looking at that as such. So, you know, maybe we'll see Florida there for the second straight year, or maybe we'll see a first timer.
Yeah, I think you could see three of the unseeded teams potentially making a run to the Final Four out of that segment of the bracket, which is how it should be, right? The 4-5
right
part of the bracket should be more competitive. I agree with the fact that Northwestern doesn't necessarily have an easy path. Granted, you know, I think they should win all of the games, but they're going to have to play conference opponents in both of their matchups. Michigan, you know, presuming they beat Akron, will play Northwestern, which is a game, again, Northwestern should handle that pretty easily, but it is a conference opponent, someone you know, you've watched all the film and you've known everything about every person on the lineup. And then they're going to have to play Maryland, potentially, you know, obviously Penn, Army, and even Fairfield, like, there's chances for that not to be the case. But they went to the brink in a game that was one of the most thrilling finishes of the year, and it's Kathy Reese in the NCAA tournament. So, like, that is not by any means an easy path. I think that I kind of lean towards Boston College having a little bit easier run than North Carolina does in terms of getting to the Final Four, Really, it kind of hinges on if Johns Hopkins can kind of recapture some of that magic that they had early in the year, if Ashlee Mackin comes back. And, you know, from what we understand, you know, it wasn't like she has a catastrophic injury that is for sure going to keep her out. You know, it's something that she could potentially come back from in the NCAA tournament and maybe was just resting it up during all of these games leading up to it. You know, North Carolina is the clear best team in the country, but I'm just saying that that's not necessarily an easy game if they play that. I don't think Boston College versus Yale is an easy game, but I don't know, something about Hopkins this year just makes me feel a little bit wary if I'm playing against them.
Well, they know how to play if the game's tight. That's, yeah, exactly. You know, you don't want to play a team that when there's 2 minutes left in a one-goal game, like, that they're as confident as ever.
Well, and for if you're North Carolina, like, you haven't played a tight game.
Right.
I mean, the first game against Boston College. Yeah.
In 2021 with Boston against Boston College when Charlotte North's team pulled off one of the biggest upsets we were just talking about it the other day. You know, they were their undefeated season, no close games. So there is something to be said about a team that's used to playing under pressure like that, but not to take away from how absolutely dominant
North Carolina, we're splitting hairs here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're so good, you have to find reasons to pick against them, kind of.
Right.
But, like, there is something to be said about, like, you know, what if Hopkins scores four straight goals and there's that little bit of doubt creep in and you haven't faced that before? You know, how are you going to react? Obviously, I think that these are the best athletes in college across, and they mentally are the best athletes as well. So they will be just fine dealing with it. But you never know until you kind of face that.
That's why you got to play the game.
Exactly. If we just knew it was going to be North Carolina, Boston College, it would be a boring 3 weeks if we just didn't do anything between now and then and just let them play. Momentum. Let's talk about momentum. And as we look at this, who's got it right now? Like, who, like, do you think is playing their best lacrosse going into this championship? And how much can that kind of parlay them into some success? Alyssa, who are you thinking?
Maryland. Like, mm-hmm. you said it, but I think, you know, their Big Ten tournament performances, I think they're playing for each other, and that does wonders. You know, it just changes the dynamic of a team when you're really just flipping the script and just working together at a whole new level. And it's the perfect time to be doing it in May. So I think they've got a lot of momentum. Obviously that if they get through the next weekend, they've got a familiar foe matchup again. But, you know, looking at it again, like we said, they've already played Penn, lost to Penn, right? so there's some games that they can, you know, take back that they dropped in the middle in the season. So, I'm picking Maryland.
Yeah, and one thing is they're hot in the right spots, right? They've got a goalie who's playing
amazing,
really, really amazing right now. And that's, if you're building a recipe for an upset, it's dominant draw taker and a goalie who's stopping saves that they shouldn't. And they've got the goalie right now. Emily, who's the hottest team right now?
Well, Alyssa stole mine. but if I had to go with another one, I'm going to go with the bubble team and say Brown. Mm-hmm. I think that the Syracuse-Brown game is going to be a lot closer than we think. I think Brown has done a really nice job this year. You know, they had some losses that, you know, towards the end of the year, you're looking back thinking like, oh, they probably shouldn't have lost that game. But I think being on both sides of, you know, upset games that they should have won, or, you know, games that they did win, I think playing an opponent like Syracuse isn't that scary to them, and they're going to really play up the underdog role. And, you know, with nothing to lose, that's a scary opponent.
Just to add to that, I think it was when we were talking about first-timers, you know, they're, I think I saw they've had a program for 50 years. And it's their first appearance, or 51 years or something like that. And it's their first time in the NCAA tournament. So that's just, you know, pretty impressive for them. And I think they have a great coaching staff that, yeah, like you said, Emily, they're not going to be afraid to just go out and play.
Yeah, and yeah. I think something that Katrina does really well with her team is they're not just going to be happy to be here. They're not going to be pleased with just making the tournament, even though that is a huge feat for the program. They're going to want to continue on, and they're going to play, you know, probably their best lacrosse of the year.
The thing that when you look at their schedule, they're 10-6, which the record, you know, that's a good record, but it doesn't, you know, jump off the page at you. But if you look at their losses, they lost 16-14 to Cornell at the beginning of the year, which is one you probably want back, but it's still a 2-goal game. They lost to Duke 14-13. They lost to Princeton 15-13, and they lost to Princeton again 17-16. So we're really close to talking about a team that's like 12-4 or 13-3, you know, or even like 14-2.
Yale.
Yeah, and they did beat Yale, and you know, they beat Harvard and they beat Dartmouth, which turned into enormous wins because, you know, ultimately their resume was looked at almost side by side with them, and they had beaten both of them. Syracuse doesn't feel, you know, I'm sure whatever the betting lines will be, Syracuse will be a favorite. But when you look at that game, I don't think you look at it like this is an overwhelming favorite and, you know, the higher seeded team is just going to walk to the next round. That certainly does not feel like the case in this one.
I agree.
So reminder to everyone, the first and second rounds are going to be Friday and Sunday. Those are played at the host sites. So they'll be played at North Carolina, Hopkins, Virginia, Florida, Northwestern, Maryland, Yale, Boston College. The quarterfinals are Thursday, May 15th, which is, I feel like we all have some opinions about these quarterfinals. On one hand, it's really cool because, you know, before they did this quarterfinal format, of basically it's the whole day. I believe it starts around noon or maybe even 11 a.m. on, you know, that Thursday. And there are games until the end of the night, four games. It's great in the sense that all the games are on ESPNU, which they weren't, you know, in years previous to that, because they were basically head-to-head with the men's games all at the same time. So that's awesome exposure. But if you are the team that gets the early game, you're basically playing a home game when everyone is at work or kids are in school. You know, your campus is probably at this point of the year, like kids are doing exams, like literally during the time of your game. So that stinks. And then who's just, you know, and who's watching TV in the rest of the world at that time of day? You know, not that many. But on the other hand, like I said, it's a whole day. It makes it a lot better for us to cover because we can watch it from beginning to end without games overlapping and stuff like that. I'm mixed. You know, I think my preference might be that, and this obviously is more of an ESPN thing than it is like anyone else, of, you know, you have the men's quarterfinals, which are Saturday and Sunday of that week. There's two games. What if they did two women's games on Saturdays and two women's games on Sunday and basically had it a whole day where you do men's game in the morning, then a women's game, and then a men's game, and then a women's game, vice versa, Saturday and Sunday. Obviously, you're asking ESPNU to devote two full days of programming over the weekend to lacrosse, but we can dream, right? That's our job. I think that would be my preference in how this is. But then the winner of those will go to the semifinals, which will be at Gillette Stadium on May 23rd. Again, combined, I think this is a thing that everyone in the sport really wants to happen is the men's and women's final combined. So everyone, you know, there's so many brothers and sisters. There's so many like cousins and former club teammates and all that stuff. Like just put them all in one place. So we will get that.
I was about to say exactly that. You know, I want my son to be exposed to women's sports. I want my daughters to be exposed to men's sports. And I just think that that's the perfect way to do it, like exactly how you explained it.
Yeah, and like, it's you know, the men want to watch the games. You know, that's the way that I like the men and the other players on the men's team and the dads and stuff. They want to watch these games, but if they're at the same exact time, obviously they can't. So right. Like having it all together in one spot, a celebration for the sport is fantastic. We don't know the women's Final Four next year will be at Northwestern. So it'll again be kind of women's at one site, men's at another site. We don't know the men's site yet for next year, but it's not going to be this combined thing, at least for the foreseeable future, which is a bummer. And then championship, Memorial Day Sunday on ESPN, Gillette Stadium. The last, you know, I remember vividly being there when Boston College was there, Navy was there, Penn State and Maryland, I think, was the Final Four. And
yeah. Yep.
Was it, and just all of the lime green for Boston College kind of like making up the entirety of the lower bowl there at Gillette Stadium. Navy was doing its kind of dream run at the NCAA Final Four.
Kenzie Kent's breakout.
Yeah, Kenzie Kent's breakout. Awesome, awesome. You know, one of the Final Fours that's most dear to my memory from having covered, you know, I don't know, 14 of them or something like that. So it should be pretty awesome. May, you guys excited?
Yeah,
very.
if my the bags under my eyes don't make it seem so, I'm excited still.
Yeah, it's funny. Like it is kind of like Monday and Tuesday of this week is like definitely like a big hangover for us. you know, because we try to watch as many of these games that happen on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's basically starting at 11 a.m. or whatever when the first whistle is until, you know, depending on what West Coast teams are playing, sometimes 10 o'clock at night, maybe even later. And then you have the bracket reveal, which is a really intense, you know, because we don't know who's going to be in, just like the rest of the world, until we turn on the ESPN's U Selection Show. And we are scrambling to make graphics and write stories and do all that stuff. So we are just excited to be a part of it and bring it to you. So be sure to check out Inside the Cross, IL Women. We'll have some content ahead of the games, but on Friday, we go full force into May Madness coverage. Enjoy.